He's got a party going at his place.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I saw him. He said he was going to make it, but that was was yesterday.
The right. Trek representatives, I guess, are there, and they're having a hamburger barbecue.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, we should have met down there.
Yeah.
You got that space upstairs.
That's right.
Who's that?
Dave Team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Dave.
Team.
He looks like a safari.
Yeah, he looked like an old farmer. Is that a quarter run?
It's the candy.
The last name's mentioned. We'll give him a couple minutes to get in here.
Yeah, maybe somebody else will come in the front while we're waiting.
Yeah.
Who's missing then after?
Marianne indicated that she was gonna be here. So
Chuck, did you get handouts from the counter?
I didn't. What did I miss?
Well, it's the agenda and then the revised ordinance, which I apologize. I thought I had done it.
I printed out a couple things.
I hadn't, and then.
Yeah. I think I have one.
That's the revised ordinance based on all the notes we took that were actually
from
supposed
the minutes.
To be.
I see.
Did this one on the email, wasn't it?
Well, that's actually...
No, completely screwed that up.
Okay. Oh. It's the same thing. That's actually, the new one she put out has the same information.
It's probably virtually identical.
The one that's up there, yeah.
I could have been so confused.
Well, I was confused because I was certain I had updated that ordinance.
Well, now we can start.
Hello, Dave King. How are you?
Hi.
Nice hat, Dave.
Well, thank you.
So we got a quorum plus one, huh?
Yeah, so yeah. We got some stuff up there.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Wait, can Maddie's go these days, man? All right.
So I think we can officially start the meeting at 5:35.
Okay.
And we don't have any guests to introduce, so next order of business is approval of the minutes from April of 2013, since we didn't have a meeting last month, so I didn't have an opportunity to approve the minutes from April of 2013. So, any additions or corrections to the April minutes? No, I didn't notice anything, any glaring issues there.
I didn't actually think to peruse that.
Yeah, those are, Peggy sent those out sometime back at one point.
I take a note to this. Everybody else's name is the first name. For some reason, my name is Lisa's last name.
What
my name
is
Alicia.
Did I spell it wrong?
No, you just said Kern.
she put Hein and she put Dennis and she, yeah, and Boza. So we're all kind of.
It's a mixture of things. That's what it is.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. You're talking about the.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Up the top though, so it does say Alicia Kern.
Yeah.
Right. What is it supposed to be?
It is Alicia. It was up the top, okay. It's just that when you went down for, you know, comments and stuff like that, it's like Kern asked the committee, Bose asked the committee, so you just use last names on the on the text. So
and some people,
so it's okay. Yeah.
That's fine with all of us.
That's pretty much it. That's good in case there's two people with the same first name.
Well, so, otherwise more official. I would amend my bad habits with the city council and all the committees on staff. Yeah.
So, I don't know, you want to look through those again a little bit?
I can't remember seeing any problems.
There's quite a bit of, there's quite a bit of information
never mind,
in here.
Never mind. I was wrong there. Apologize.
So, if we don't have any additions or corrections, I'm going to have a motion to approve the minutes from April.
I move we approve the April minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Dave? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so minutes from April are approved as written.
I just approved the minutes.
Thank you.
Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
So we just got started.
Sorry.
And just went through the minutes from the April meeting to approve those, and those have been approved, so we're moving on. And we're working off of the agenda that I sent out. Because actually I noticed that one of the things on the one that Peggy had put together was that there wasn't anything in there for approval of minutes from the previous meetings.
Right.
So I wanted to keep the same basic format that we've been using as far as putting staff reports next and then old business, new business, et cetera. So we're actually into staff reports at this point.
What was, pick up a copy of the agenda that she handed out up on the table. Okay. Other than the minutes missing, yeah. That's what we had proposed.
Yeah, this is, yeah, but this is, and if you read this, that the committee can change the order of the agenda and discuss other business deemed necessary.
Right.
So that's not an issue
so
at all.
So actually, I'm just working off of these.
Right.
This agenda.
The whole idea, when you talk about department staff reports.
Mm-hmm.
There's none yet. We're supposed to be.
No, we're not working off of that. We're okay. Working off of the agenda that I, the other agenda that I sent out.
Okay, never mind.
Okay, but
so we're going to staff reports.
If you're going to do that, then you first have to start with the agenda, the official agenda, and then ask people if they have corrections to the agenda. The agenda you sent out doesn't basically have any official status.
Okay, so last week I sent out. In the past, I sent out a copy of the agenda based on the format that we'd been using in the past. And what I did was I used some of the information that was on the agenda that Peggy had put together.
The official one here.
And then modified that to go along with the way we'd been running the meetings in the past. So. Anybody have any problems with using the agenda that I sent out?
Well,
yeah.
Because I gave Peggy an opportunity to actually change the minutes on that.
Let me interface here. At the close of the April meeting, we had proposed some new operational guidelines for the committee, including a draft ordinance. And then by the end of the meeting, we had decided pretty much on an agreed-to set of changes to the ordinance,
that's actually on my agenda under old business.
That's fine too. The other thing that was sent out was basically an agenda for that meeting that we didn't end up having because of the conflict with the budget meeting, and that is the other one you're looking at, where the first thing it should have had approval of minutes, but then the first thing we were looking at is reviewing the draft ordinance, and then some updates from the department, and an example project, and then a committee comment. So the reason I'm pointing that out is, although this is probably not going to work very well tonight, it's the sort of format we want to move towards. And then, as I said at the April meeting, when and if we have significant enough items from a particular department that we want to invite them to attend, we can do that.
Can I ask a question?
So I guess I don't want to get all wrapped around the axle again on how we used to do things versus how we're doing things now.
I have a question. I guess a question for you, Peggy. What pieces of the agenda do we, as a committee and our committee chair, which parts do we design and which parts are prescribed?
Well, obviously the call to order is prescribed, and we always want to have committee comments, and I actually forgot something because we need to have public comment on all agendas.
Yep.
And
which can cover that.
Yeah, and we don't have to establish the next agenda, but that's how we developed this agenda, was based on your comments at the last meeting, which was in April. We talked about what should be on the next agenda, and that's what's on here. Even though this was meant for May, I just moved it forward to June. Mm-hmm. You can do it however you want. I don't recommend there being two agendas because this is the one that was noticed. This is the official agenda. the actual new business, old business format is really, in my mind, pretty archaic. And you don't really need to do it.
Okay. Let me ask the committee members how they feel about, you know, the format that, you know, that I put out there, as far as, you know, how we want to conduct the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I like the streamlining of this particular format here, but it's my opinion that I think that before this official agenda gets written up, I think that Ken, being our committee chairman, should be able to have input probably directly to you as to what he wants in the next month's meeting.
I'm fine with that.
And I actually did that a couple of weeks ago, and then have you
take his input and the two of you discuss it by emails or however, and then you use this agenda, which is the way you guys, the way the city wants it done, and we can do away with this old format. But I do like to see, you know, Ken being our spokesperson for the committee, I do like to see our committee having direct input into what items are on the agenda.
I didn't know we were discussing that. It was basically the way I interpreted what Ken sent was, well, we're not using your agenda. This is the agenda we're using. I had no idea that was a discussion item, but now I know.
Yes, I didn't know it was either until the other day I saw both of them dictating,
and
so actually, at this point, I want to move on. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I want to ask the committee members, which format they want me to follow.
I think it's not as simple as that. Before we answer that question, what I'm hoping we can do tonight. And I'm not saying that the version that Peggy put out is necessarily the final version, and I'm not necessarily saying that you shouldn't have input, but there's clearly been an undercurrent of struggling with changing how this committee is going to operate. And I've been trying as best as I can to help guide that towards what the council wants to see, consistent with how all their other committees operate. And it's been tough because at several junctures we sort of have kind of gotten there so that we can move ahead, and then there continues to be this sort of back channel. Why aren't we still doing everything the way we used to do?
I really think you've misinterpreted.
I haven't misinterpreted.
You're the new guy.
I know I'm the new
guy.
You're the new guy.
We have a perfectly functioning committee. We have you both come in. You know how other committees run.
Yes.
We don't have that. Only very few of us are on other committees.
Okay.
So we don't know where you're making suggestions and where there are requirements. This is all, it's kind of confusing, and I think it's been frustrating for us to spend so much time on it. This is these simple logistics. We want to get to the content. But this kind of miscommunication of who's, what, we just need to know this framework. There's no struggle. We just need to.
I think there is a struggle, Marianne. Well, I think the city's trying to put the committee in its place and let it know what it expects. And I don't mind not knowing what it expects, but it seems like there's a tremendous power struggle going on, and we're getting kind of confused with a lot of form and format errors. This committee has operated fairly effectively
for 13 years
as far as providing information to the city, and now all of a sudden, I don't know if because we're not being clear and we're all trying to be polite, that there just seems to be a tremendous power struggle occurring between the chair and the council, and the members are all kind of going, we just want to do what we were asked to do.
Okay, well, I really wish you hadn't said that.
And here's why.
No, I'm going to talk now. Here's what's not appropriate for a committee. We sat down in April. We as a committee agreed on a set of criteria that would be applied to the second draft of the ordinance. And in less than 24 hours later, we got an email from the current chair complaining about the results of the meeting and why we just didn't go back to the bylaws. That is not a way a committee operates. That started the struggle right there.
So are you okay? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you this because I
think it's a big to-do about nothing. Yeah.
And this is what I'm here. That's what
it's
a big
to-do about nothing. You conjured that.
But right. I'm not trying to conjure that.
You conjured that, but you need to come to us and say, okay, what does this mean? You guys work together. You're a team. You're a committee. What does this mean that Ken sent that?
Okay, when did I get the message from anybody that we conquered that we've now set aside the old bylaws?
That the fact that this agenda doesn't include a discussion of them. We're supposed to be approving. Ken said no more than 5 minutes. We're done with this. Let's move on.
Yeah. Okay, so bylaws are not an issue.
So then the official agenda goes out. And I'm trying to get traction back to where we were in April.
Okay, now.
Back to where we were in April, which is to approve the bylaws.
Yeah.
And before
we're going
agenda,
to do that.
Right, but it's like
we're going to do that.
You start the meeting and you're right back into the old
format and
discussion.
We're going to get there.
Yeah.
If you bear with me and I sent out the revisions to the agenda well in advance to actually get them incorporated into the new format. Like Bob said, they were sent out to Peggy and to you and every other committee member of what I wanted to see on the agenda, the order that I wanted to take, and there was nothing come back, said, we can't do that.
We have to stick to this.
Town? Well, there is no, usually when somebody's out of town, there's a flag that comes up and an email gets sent out saying I'm out of town for a week.
I was.
Okay, usually something comes up, giving me an opportunity or somebody else an opportunity to say, well, okay, that person didn't get the message because they're out of town. So at any rate, and besides that, I sent it out a couple weeks ago, and then again, I sent it out twice, because I went back online to see if actually the agenda had gotten changed at all online, and nothing had been changed yet. So, well, at any rate, what we can do under new business is we can discuss the format for the agenda. And like I said, maybe the city's got some ideas on, you know, how to do the layout for it, which is fine. We've been using this format that I use is actually one that Peggy sent me a year or two ago.
Because
I've been making out the agendas that they didn't have this little header on there and some of the other things in the past. And then you sent
this is
what the city's doing.
Yeah.
So this is a format that I've been following for at least last three
the
to four
header,
years.
Yeah, I did send that to him. But so, may I say something about
all I really want to do at this point here is get the meeting underway, and as far as the agenda for next month, we'll discuss that. And the question was is that to the committee members, is do they have a problem with me following this format, you know, that I put out there, you know, as opposed to the other one? It does have a thing right in here
yeah.
On both agendas that the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee reserves the right to add or delete items as needed, change the order of the agenda, and discuss any other business deemed necessary at the time of the work session and or meeting.
So I had
an opportunity to bring it up well in advance of this is what I was planning on doing.
So I think the only thing we're saying, and you're right, is that you need to formally approve that as the addition to.
And we can do that under new business.
I would like to hear what.
Well, you need to do that at the very start if you're going to change the agenda. That's normally what happens. This one that went out is the official notice agenda. So if you want to operate from the other one.
Does it really freaking matter, you guys? Both of you, everybody, does it matter? Can't we just do what we're here to do?
Yeah. Let's get the meeting done.
It does matter.
Let's get the meeting done.
As a committee, get this figured out. Let me know, and I'll come back. I don't have time to wait.
The only reason I'm saying it does matter is because we have people who track the exact process of how the city operates. I'm not saying it matters to me. And if we don't follow that process, we get a lot of trouble. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I necessarily care, but I'm saying that
It's fine to do the other agenda.
You just got to go through the step of saying, okay.
So what are we going to do, Ken?
Okay, I'm the chairman of the committee.
Okay.
I'm the one that's running the meeting.
Thank you.
All right.
You're the city council liaison.
That's right.
So I'm the chairman. I'm running the meeting. The question was to the committee members, what format, you know, would you like me to follow?
I move that in the future we follow the official approved city format that Ken communicates to the city exactly what he wants on the agenda, and then it will be typed up in this format.
Okay, that's really great, but what can you make a motion for tonight's agenda? That's what I'm looking for.
I make a move that tonight we follow this agenda.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. I understand that. That's horrible.
Let's move on.
Chuck, did you second?
Yes.
Thank you. But we don't have that.
Peggy, did you still have something you
want? Well, I sent everybody a copy of the agenda.
So let's go ahead and move on to staff reports.
Is this it?
Yep.
I want to make sure.
That's one we're working on.
Is this the one we're working on? Yep. Give that to Mark, and I'll look over. Sorry, okay. And I'll look over your shoulder.
Okay.
And we'll be done with the
agenda.
All right. Moving on.
I look over your shoulder.
Thank you.
Okay. Staff reports. And, you know, I listed out four items here, and we'll go ahead and start with those. And actually, the four items, some of those were taken off of, you know, what Peggy had sent out on the city one. So, I guess, Mark, you're the staff, so.
Well, I don't have anything on number one. Number two, as I think I mentioned to a couple of people when I ran into you, the original idea was, is when Tim got word that the Highway 101 project had been approved, he then, a week later, was going to be headed off to a final meeting with ODOT, which has now occurred. And then at the time of the May meeting, what we had hoped would happen is about the time we had the meeting, we would have some information in hand that we would share with all you right about the same time that a public information notice was going to be put out. So unfortunately, I haven't had an update from Tim since he had that meeting. So we're pretty much still at the point where we know we have it. We're looking towards getting the details from Tim on what that project is. He actually was out in Celebs all day today. Otherwise, I probably would have had a chance to get an update as recently as today. And I guess more to the point is, as we move forward and how we do meetings, the intent will be to aggressively try to make sure that we get whatever information we can here that you guys have requested, and then, as you indicated earlier, when appropriate, have the staff person from not only Public Works, whatever department, show up. The other one that I don't think is on here, we did talk to, if I can interject this one, we did talk to the police department. Did you get a confirmation of that today, Peggy?
Well, before the last meeting, I asked them for an update on bicycle and pedestrian traffic issues in Newport. There hadn't been any that month. I did not get another update today. It's been a month later.
So that's another one we're going to try to keep rolling through
on
a regular basis.
He said he would update us monthly on that.
My wife works down at the Bayfront in one of the galleries, and this is the traffic issue.
Right.
She says that there are skateboarders running up and down the middle of the Bay Road down there.
Yeah, one down.
That are, you know, kind of a problem for, I guess, everybody. They're out in the middle of the street, you know, zipping around on skateboards.
You know, with all my sidewalks, they have to ride someplace.
That's probably true.
Quick question. Well, did we leave the Highway 101 crossing?
Well, I was just kind of summarizing it. So
can we interject on that issue?
Yeah.
I spoke with Derek Tokos regarding that project.
Okay, good.
And had a pretty lengthy conversation with him about it as it relates to city beautification and the public process. He said there will be a public workshop meeting And he referenced this, he said, this will be the one chance that the public has some input to actually say how they think this thing should look.
Cool.
Yeah. I know Bob has talked about, hey, what, you know, we're going to do some landscaping that looks good, right? Mm-hmm. There's, in conversation with Derek, there's concern about, you know, if we do landscaping, it has to be maintained. There's always that issue. I referenced with him the project down in Florence that had basically an informal rock garden, if you will. And in conversation with Derek, he is very much in favor of making it look nice and be a beautification element as it relates to 101 view shed improvement, an opportunity to actually use this project to make 101 look a little nicer.
As well.
Art projects are what came to mind. He said, well, he thought about possibly, I mentioned something about, you know, doing something with concrete or something like that, and he said, well, I think one idea would be to take a certain amount of that square footage and within the constraints of the vertical and horizontal elements of it, do an art-related feature in each one that is specific where appropriate to the district, like Deco District or whatever. And so he was very excited about the project and had that overall arching set of comments.
Was there any idea when this public meeting might be?
Soon, but he didn't say when.
Thank you for being such a fantastic memory source. I forgot I did talk to Derek too. I was so focused on Tim's meeting with ODOT that I forgot about that point.
Can we make sure that that the committee gets notice of exactly when that meeting is going to
sure
be?
That goes out to everybody.
When we first came up with this 101 crosswalk thing, that was my biggest issue. When you go through Philomath on Highway 20, mm-hmm. you know, all of those islands that they've stuck in there have been landscaped.
Right.
And it's a tremendous improvement.
Yep.
You know, and to get shortchanged when we do have this one singular opportunity going through town would be absolute criminal waste. Our town is butt ugly driving through it.
Yep.
That's why we'd like to have an opportunity to get involved with at the public meeting, because I've been to some of these before when they've talked about some design, you know, and some changes and stuff like that, and the citizens have been invaluable as far as giving input to, you know, these contractors that are, or you know, people that are designing it and thinking about putting the project up for the city. So
we can also,
I know we definitely want to be able to attend that.
And there's a huge budget issue relative to maintenance of the existing landscaping that's in town, and so this is going to weigh heavily on the character of the, you know, the features that are added to the
Don't put your hands on them. Very simple.
Well, it depends on what we put in the island.
So I'm not sure how all that's going to go, but it's certainly an opportunity. Whether we can take advantage of it or make
it. No, it really is. It's a great opportunity.
One of the things, you know, with the budgeting, too, in Philomath, there are volunteers maintaining those islands there. I saw two pickup loads of old geezers, you know, guys my age, out there. They were volunteers. They were not City of Philomath employees. And they were out there maintaining the one when you're coming in from this west side, where you make that right turn. Mm-hmm. They were out there, you know, pulling weeds and doing stuff, and they had three pickups there that not a single one of them had a City of Philomath, you know, marking on it.
Did they have any kind of safety support?
No.
So this is actually something that could be brought up at City Council as a, you know, solution to some of the problems that they might have budgetary wise as far as maintaining some of this stuff. So I'd like to move on under the staff reports.
So then this third one, the idea there was to highlight that particular effort as, and actually it sounds
what
like.
What are you talking about at this point?
Chestnut Street.
Staff report Chestnut number Street. 3, Chestnut Street.
I don't have that.
Oh, sorry. Sounds like it could tie into this, whatever effort we make at 101 too, is that I'd gone out to see Chuck and saw what the situation was that they were concerned about.
Does everybody know where it is or what we're talking
maybe
about?
You can describe what the current situation is, and then I'll...
I don't know, some weeks ago I sent out just a Word document that described the area of South Beach, the intersection of Chestnut Street and Ferry Slip Road. I don't know if anybody read that or remembers it in a vague form.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, have you been over there and seen a barricade at the intersection of mm-hmm. Chestnut Street and Ferry Slip Road? If you haven't, then it's hard to describe, but the city has made a change in the way the traffic flow is on Chestnut Street. And if you're aware of where that is, its north end intersects with Ferry Slip Road just south of 32nd Street. In other words, if you came from Newport and were headed across the bridge, you turn left at 32nd Street, light, and you head like you're going to the aquarium the back way. Instead of turning towards the aquarium, you turn towards Barrelhead. Just as soon as you turn towards Barrelhead, you notice that little gravel road that punches out there.
That used to be the road.
That's always been a problem because people just merge out and there's no stop sign there and they just look over their shoulder and go. And so some neighborhood members, myself and the gentleman has a wood turning shop there, Tom Hastings, approached him at a couple of these public meetings we had relative to the Coho Brant neighborhood study. And Tim agreed to come out there and look at it. And our idea was to turn that street, instead of merging out like this, turn it at a right angle so it met Ferry Slip Road at a right angle, which would force traffic to stop because there's a stop sign, and have them have the view shed either way to make that turn. Tim came out, looked at it, said, I think this is a good idea. Let's do it. He had the road crew come out there. They made the road turn at a right angle, put a stop sign up. It's got an actual street sign. They put up these barricades. It looks kind of like East Bay Route.
Yeah.
To temporarily control the traffic relative to the change of movement. And that's how it sits now. And our follow-up comment was, gee, can we eventually, sooner rather than later, remove the barricades and landscape and make some improvements along there?
So that's when I went and saw the project. And it was really easy to agree with everything that was being described, because while we were standing there talking about it, one of the problems was that these barricades were kind of set so that they were too close together so you could go between them. There wasn't room to go by on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, it basically was forcing you to practically fall into this gully in order to get by it. And so while we're sitting there talking about this whole thing, we had a woman with her child in a stroller come up there and have to go all the way around and out onto a road.
Not paid by me.
Then we had a bicycler come by, I think two or three times. We had pedestrians come by. And so we sort of kind of launched this concept where we're talking about it. I said, there's probably little nuggets like this all over the city that, are just really hard to get to. What if you could have a little sort of neighborhood sponsored, for lack of a better description, kind of like micro park? So the idea was you would move those barriers, if that's all that was going to be able to happen at least, so that people could get by there. But then a better step would be to basically pull up that gravel that was the street, route a continuation of what you called a path, right? Urban path. So it's really clear how people can go through there, and then allow a group to basically sponsor keeping that landscaping or whatever you'd want to do there maintained. And maybe the city's role in that would simply be whatever they felt they had to do to make it safe enough, have some like rock barrier or something along the actual roadway. So I came back and talked to Tim about it. He was actually the one who said, yeah, that's a great idea. First thing we ought to do is dig all that gravel out of there that doesn't actually even need to be there anymore. So then the idea there was just to sort of use that as an example project of how these things could work. And, now that this 101 thing's coming up, it's even a better example, of how, potentially you could have, interested citizens. That place, spot there, is probably a little bit easier because it's not on 101. I'm not quite sure what Tim and others would say about being right on 101 and the liability.
Well, has anything actually been done yet as far as making the changes there in Chestnut?
Well, no.
No.
It's still bare.
Well, I mean, ideally, we were going to bring this forward as kind of an example project in April and then take the next step, in May. So here we are. Seeing what the committee thinks about moving forward on projects like that.
I do like the idea of projects like that. I think, I live in Newport, and I don't like living in a mud ugly town. I like to see anything that improves the look of Newport. And I think, you know, if the council could come up with some kind of a plan to enable committees or groups, mm-hmm. private groups, to maintain certain areas around town. Like, was it the Night Beach folks did that little landscape down there?
$3,500 of their own cash.
It's absolutely beautiful, you know.
Paper sale.
Coast Guard Hill, you know, where we put that wonderful, beautiful new road and sidewalk.
Right.
And the damn blackberries are 10 feet tall. And
it's got cleaned up. And it has been cleaned up quite a bit, though.
God, yeah. I mean, you know, we put all that money into that. That was, what, almost $1 million? And 2 years later, you know, it looks like a damn junkyard.
Yeah. Well, the city does have a program for adopting parks and city properties, landscaping, if you will. So cities, that's in place already.
That ought to
get... What would be the committee's role in this?
Well, so what...
It's part of the pedestrian sidewalk maintenance, I guess, you know.
I mean, are you talking, Bob, about the committee... For example, adopting a park or a piece of landscaping and maintaining that?
I'm talking about, I didn't know the city council had, or the city had a program for adopting.
Yeah.
Online you can.
So that was my thinking, is that what this could be is kind of a trial project where, in fact, it is a committee member who came forward with this idea. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm serious enough about all this that I'm willing to continue to follow this through and, you know, work out, I guess, a pilot program for how this sort of thing would work. And it basically is in this particular example, it's not quite big enough to really be called a park, but it's
a little
larger than just
call it a beauty mark.
What I think they mean by cityscape, but for lack of a better description, I kind of call it like a micro park or something, and actually figure out the details of what work the city needs to do and what we need to do in terms of paperwork. And in this case, I think we pretty much had an agreement that there were at least two or three citizens there already who would be interested in adopting this particular project. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the idea is then is once you get one of these nicer looking features in there, then there's somebody to maintain it. And I'm with you 100%. I mean, I drive down 101 and I'm thinking, why can't we have a program where each business that abuts 101 sort of, you know, keeps the weeds at bay or whatever right in front of their 10-foot of roadway or whatever.
Yeah. So do you need to have the committee go ahead and give you a consensus that we'd like to have you bring it up with city council?
Yeah. Well, initially we'll be able to bring the whole thing up through Tim.
Right.
And if there's any bumps in the road, then yeah, I would have to go to city council.
Yeah, because like I said, if Tim doesn't have a problem with it, you know, right. I'm sure that the committee doesn't have any problems with actually some
unification of that. I mean, what we would work towards is trying to...
street. It's a vacated street that, you know, needs to be more than just a old dirt road.
Right. What my intent would be to go as far as we can go, hopefully the whole way, with it being a pilot project, and hopefully being able to stay away from city council needing to approve or disapprove anything. Now, I can't say that that's the case right now because we haven't completely vetted the project. But if that works, then it ought to be able to be a template of similar types of projects that this committee could bring forward. As you know, I realize they aren't the bigger projects, but every little bit all over the place can help. Yeah. So that's sort of the idea.
Do we need a motion?
Yeah, let's ask for a motion to go ahead and
Chuck would be your primary person on this particular one.
Yeah, Mark, bring it to Tim, to the Public Works Department, that the committee, you know, likes the concept of, you know, making some green space there.
I mean, I think the next step would probably be you and I maybe formally arranging to sit down with Tim and talk some details.
So you want a formal motion for me? Is that what I hear?
Well, I'm just thinking
what
that if this...
What from the committee? What are you looking for from the
You and I basically...
On this project?
Consensus, understanding. Well, the first of all, taking, as I mentioned in my email, if you're in the area, go take a look at it, understand what we're talking about if you think it's valid. The core of it is an urban path. It basically is nothing more than a shoulder of the road that currently doesn't exist.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that Chuck continue to work with Mark and or Tim Gross on the improvements there. And get a consensus from the committee whether they agree with that.
Chestnut Street plan.
So, yeah.
Yep.
It's just, okay. So do we have a second?
I second it.
So all in favor of having Chuck and Mark continue to pursue that?
Aye.
So.
FYI, Councillor Beamer has also looked at it.
Right.
And he said, go forth.
Now, the thing that I think could be really valuable, assuming proactively that this is going to work well, is obviously there will be a concern about there being a little bit of consistency in how we do these projects, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where this committee could be extremely valuable and sort of, we do a project with that Chuck brought up one time, maybe two or three meetings later, you bring up a project that's in a totally different part of town. The sort of cohesion of what we're trying to do could rest right here, basically. Looking over plans, agreeing, disagreeing with things, that sort of thing.
I've only got one comment that I'd like to make sure that we, as long as it's involving paths and walkways and ways to get from A to B through a green space or whatever, but it would seem to me that green space creation and maintenance would fall under the realm of Parks and Rec far more than this committee, and I know there's a Parks and Rec committee.
But isn't Public Works kind of taking care of a lot of that stuff
they
now anyway?
They are taking care of all the parks maintenance.
I'm just saying, like I agree with Bob, the green space on 101 has been an issue for, I think it's been discussed for 16, 17 years, Peggy?
Oh, about 100.
Yeah. So that's green space, and that is a beautification. I just want to make sure that somehow it fits within our charter of pathways and pedestrians and bicyclists.
Yeah.
That's why I rolled it back to the shoulder trail issue, because that's really what started it, is the actual physical movement of people from the neighborhood area to the commercial area of the Aquarium Village and out towards the HMSC Peninsula. That's what caused the initial part, and then it morphed a little bit from there. So important to reel in that where...
Right. We want us so much good for our city that we tend to sometimes step outside of bicycle.
That's a good point. What we could do, I'm on the Parks and Rec Committee too, so I can alert them to the fact that this process is going on. It's one of these things where I think there are areas where the committees are.
And we're supportive of it.
And maybe in a perfect world, what would happen is before the shovels actually hit the ground, they'd get a chance to look at the plans too. Mm-hmm. Basically.
And I'll put together a list of neighborhood residents who, in concept, agree with what we're doing and agree to participate in subsequent meetings.
Yeah, because remember, we did the part that even went a step further is as we were discussing this path, we were making the point that eventually when the work gets done along the street and there's an actual curb that goes in, potentially this path, if you go look at the place, you'll see how it could line right up with where the next sidewalk is probably going to go. The trouble is there's also a business there that has quite a bit of their, like it's typical, but quite a bit of their landscaping and whatnot is out towards that front.
Oh, and that's actually Mary Parker's home. Yeah. And she does have a little quilt shop. And And she's aware of the project. And I know I'm going to move my mailbox in so that the shoulder can get the urban path can go by, and she's up on it.
Perfect.
She understands the right of way.
I understand all this, and it's all very, very good. But back to the original point is, all we ever wanted to do was be informed when they're going to do anything affecting bicycle pedestrians. We have not been informed of it.
That was my concern when I first saw barricades go up. I said, hey, I walked out there and I said, hey, Dave, those barricades, sir, can you move them? He goes, well, they're, and it's like, well, what are people going to walk? And if this is a good example, through that process, before they actually went out there, if we looked or if they had some input from us, the barricades would have been in a slightly different spot. We would have said, as long as you're here spending the half a day doing this, they had the little roller out there and the grader, did a great job of swinging the road over. They could have extended the shoulder area in real time.
Again, I have to agree with Alicia that, when Public Works Department was down there and looking at that and thinking about blocking it off and maybe doing something else that might have been bicycle and or pedestrian effective, you know, that we probably should have been brought into it. Chuck just happens to live there and have a business there. So, of course, he knew what was going on because he lived there.
But even though I was there, it happened so darn fast once they did. It was like, whoa, barricades, how expensive.
This is what I'm kind of hoping is if we pull off a few of these types of projects, even if it does admittedly originate because you guys happen to be someplace where we see one, that helps move along a more common process where all of a sudden when something like that is going to happen, it is in the mindset to go, before we actually get the tractor out there, maybe we ought to see if there's some ideas.
Well, and I think that's where one of the requests that the committee has actually made is that we are informed of, some of the stuff going on.
He has a schedule, he has a timeline, and he can't, interrupt a schedule and a timeline to wait for us to look at something for 2 months and say, you move it to the left 10 feet. Because they've got to
do it in 2 seconds.
But they still would have to, if they're going to run things past us, they're going to run them past us at a meeting, and he can't wait. They've got stuff to do, and they've got a short construction season just like everybody does, and they got to bang things out, and they can't run everything past us.
No, I mean, I'm not suggesting
there are certain things they can.
Certain projects might amend themselves to thinking about that, and terms of working out this new habit of getting more or less staff reports to bring to this committee, that can be one of those thoughts that goes on, month.
Like the 101 project, the sidewalks, sure, that can be run through us, for months and months and months because it's way out in the future, but something that's a daily, get your truck out there and do this today, those kinds of things just aren't going to happen,
this isn't kind of hot luck. Chestnut Street thing wouldn't fit into that description.
It was a half a day, right?
Well, it took half a day to do it, but it was being visioned. Tim had to go to council and formally reroute the street, do an ordinance thing that Peggy probably was involved in that I didn't even know he had to do. So, I mean, there was a process that it went through that would have allowed
would have been an opportunity to bring it up to the committee that there's something going on.
That's all we ask.
So, and that's all we ask. All right, let's move on. Let's see, one of the first questions I had down there was the status of the Park Street Trail / Waterline project there at Hague Beach to Nye Street, where the city is at with that Waterline project.
That's from 17th down to Ocean View.
Right.
And, we got that started last winter sometime.
Well, if you go...
Park Street Trail thing goes along several years back. But at any rate...
Where's the pipe?
I know that the city is looking at putting in a new water line, from down there at Agate Beach going up towards Nye Street. And I'm just wondering where they're at with it.
We've got a couple of big question marks on it.
Remember, Ted told us when Ted was at one of the last meetings, he said, stay tuned because we'll know pretty soon where that is going to be. And if the pipe goes in position A, the trail thing could happen fairly easily with it. Mm-hmm. If it goes in position B, not so much.
Yeah. Well, and that was several months ago that came up. So I would think that at this point, there would be some knowledge as to what their plan is. I know they've gone out there and marked, done the markings on the road of where the existing water lines were and sewer lines and other utilities and stuff. So, is the project that they're going to do or not going to do?
Well, I will tell you, I heard a little bit about it, but I want to go back and check because I'm not exactly sure which of those two A or Bs have ended up with. But
because it's a great opportunity if we can fit it in. If it's plan B, obviously it won't work, but if it's plan A, God, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to get some bikes off of Ocean View Drive and coming up through that route and making things
pedestrians mainly.
What's that?
Yeah.
Pedestrians mainly. Bicycles can handle Ocean View, but pedestrians can't handle Ocean View.
Actually, the bottom line is like I said, this is something that was brought up at the committee level when they first talked about making the water line change. We knew that they were going to be going from the lift station down there at Agate Beach up towards Nye Street, and they are going to go on this, what is called Park Street, which is actually the north end of Nye Street. And Tim had made a comment that, you know, if they were going to do that, that that would be an opportunity to actually put a trail in. Because right. The trail concept has been in place for, 10, 11, 12 years.
The reason I bring this up is because it is absolutely suicidal for a pedestrian to walk through there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, it is. I've tried a couple of times, and I've stopped doing it.
So that's why I want a status report on what, you know, are they... I know they're going to do it this year. They're going to put that water line in this year. But, you know, what... There was some question about whether they were going to go up to 16th Street and then cross over to Ocean View, mm-hmm. or were they going to continue straight up Nye Street. Right. So, you know, the routing and stuff like that, and that's why we've had this question out here for a long time, and I hope to, you know, get some kind of information tonight on what the city is going to be doing or
Public Works Department is going to do. Definitely got that one marked. I'll check in on it, and then I'm thinking it was more like it was going to be option B, but I don't remember the details. Yeah. So.
Okay. So that was on the, after looking through the minutes from the April meeting, I also noticed that there were several committee requests that were listed out, actually about 16 of them, to have staff look into. Now, I know that everybody has gotten a copy of that. You've gotten a copy of the minutes from the April meeting. Those are sent out fairly shortly after the meeting. So, Mark, you should have, you know, had the copy of that April minutes, you know, with the committee request, and this would have been a report that probably would have been due at the May meeting.
Right.
So I don't know if you have, you've got the minutes there.
We all know what happened with number 3. Sharrows are on the ground.
They look good. And I'm going to... They're in good locations.
Yeah. Yep. Well staggered.
Well placed, well staggered. It was a good job.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know what happened with those.
Does everybody have a copy of that? The punch list?
Mm-hmm. That's
maybe look over somebody's shoulder or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, the minutes for the...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
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 So if you kind of go down the list and see if there's...
Well, we know we have a bit of an update on number 1, although more details. Number 2...
Yeah, that had to do with the...
Yeah, that I haven't asked specifically about. That whole thing has been... And the last thing that was happening was the council even approving whether we had to go back for another...
Hearing on the traffic impact.
So they upheld the planning commission, so we definitely put a big question mark on that one.
And then
number three,
we got that taken care of.
Did everybody see the sheriffs?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see them?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're down on Ocean View Drive from 101 on the north.
I've ridden right over the top of them.
Yeah.
Remember I sent you pictures of them?
All the way to the waves.
Remember I sent you pictures of them?
Yes. You did.
I did talk some about number 4. We did not finish discussion really on, you know, what it might cost to try to do sort of in steps that we talked about before. But we can look for some more update on that one,
that's
too.
That's probably expensive, but it was a wonderful concept.
Yeah.
Well, and that was one that the Bayfront Association folks had possibly had some money. They could go towards working on that sidewalk, doing that sidewalk.
Right, and we have not, the parking district has not met since they did the walkthrough of the Bayfront.
So we do need a status update on this possibility.
The larger project that has a higher priority is the improvement of the parking lot behind Port Dock 1 Mariner Square area, which is the large capital project that group is probably moving forward with, if it's feasible. As opposed to this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So then on number 5, I think the general answer was that the city's grant consultant hadn't really been looking at a lot of the public works grants. But having said that, this whole new process is getting launched in the upcoming year, specifically for looking for public works support for water, sewer, and other things. Mm-hmm. So it seems reasonable that while we're launching that, you know, this the same effort could be keeping an eye out for things that could be more
germane to
like sidewalks and bike routes and things.
I mean, it mm-hmm. seems to me in a cash-strapped town, you know, that, I mean, grants for any damn thing you can get a hold of, you know, that there should be a person, you know, just constantly on the internet or to all government venues trying to figure out ways to get money, you know, into our system so we can do these things. If we, you know, I mean, if we're having to raise rates and taxes and everything else every 5 seconds, you know, this person should be a very important person.
Well, and there's actually another option available to these grant writers as far as looking for money for bicycle and or pedestrian facilities is it's a health issue now.
Right.
It's a national health, you know, issue. And I know in health departments and along those lines, there's also grant money available. You don't have to go to ODOTs and you don't have to go to, you know, transportation places to actually get funding for these things. A lot of health departments, you know, have grants available that can actually improve the conditions to get people out walking and or riding bicycles, taking public transportation, you know, anything but, you know, driving their personal cars to move around town. So that'd be another place that the grant writers can be looking for, you know, options to get money for like more sidewalks and things like that.
It's my opinion that the grant consultant is actively looking for grants, but grants that are more associated with major capital improvement projects, isn't that your understanding?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not necessarily. So I mean, you know, big.
Well, they might not be looking at the smaller options that are out there.
But see, if they're looking for like $50,000 grants and $100,000 grants and $500,000 grants, you know, that takes a lot of pressure off the big grants. You know, that's the thing that I'm looking at. I mean, you know, the type of grants that we've been looking for are like less than $1 million, you know.
Well, like getting grants to put bike racks in.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't cost much money, yet it encourages people to ride their bicycles to the stores. And.
Well, I'll talk to Tim again about the grant consultant and exactly what that person or that group is looking for, but it's not my understanding that they are looking specifically toward pedestrian bicycle improvement projects.
I wouldn't want them to be specifically looking for this, but they should be. I mean, is this a consulting group that is like out of Portland or Eugene or some other place? Out of Denver. And see, to me, that, you know, that's money that gets wasted. I mean, you could probably, for what the city pays that, you know, consulting group, they could hire someone that could just sit behind a desk and specifically, you know.
It's become a very specialized field.
It really is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really is. So. I mean, well.
Yeah. Yeah. So at any rate, this is,
we used to pay our grants.
Yeah.
That's how we got it.
Those days are gone.
Those were only like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Our job is actually, you know, to find some of the, you know, possibilities to, you know, to improve the conditions, you know, for the citizens and tourists that come into town to try to, you know, encourage them to, you know, get out and instead of, you know, trying to look for a parking space for a car, you know, leave their car at the motel.
All right.
Well,
that's kind of what that's all
it's
about.
It's an area I think we can, I mean, I'll share a frustration I have, not as the city, but as the county. And when it comes to these smaller grants, a lot of times what I run into at the county is I have no match money set up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Because I get dozens of them. I get ones for everything from community forests to, you know, I see ones that are directly related to biking and pedestrian and a whole bunch of ones. And the first thing I say to myself is, well, it's great. I could get a $100,000 grant, but I don't have the $25,000 or $50,000 to match it.
So that's a budget. I'm going to add something to that since you may see some of that stuff at the county level.
Yeah.
The county right now has probably at least $50,000 specifically for bicycles, pedestrian facilities. This is part of the 1% federal tax money that the county gets. And, you know, I know over the last couple of years there hasn't been any wider roads made.
Right.
So I know that this money is pooling up. I've found it online how much it actually is. And so there's 40 or 50 there, and that can go towards a match for some of these grants.
Hmm. Well, I'll have to ask about that in my other job.
And if you do see anything of interest, would you send it on to me?
Yeah.
So
I even would disagree with you, you know.
Okay. Next.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, I send them a copy of
next
what you can use that money for and what you can't use it for.
Next.
So Jim Beisman's aware of this.
Yeah,
it's the bike bill.
I know.
366.514, specifically.
They probably purposely kept me out of that process. Just kidding.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's worth knowing.
Well, and it's actually not, you know, one of your departments anyway and stuff. And it'd be something Jim Chambers would be involved in and that type of thing.
Do we have any crossover member? You are a crossover member and for the county.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's some way to work that.
Yeah. So, number six.
I guess I should know on number six because I drive by it all the time, but I don't recall at this point whether it has been done yet.
No, it hasn't been. I've noticed it, and actually, on that note, you know, I've looked in the MUTCD to find the, you know, the appropriate bike symbol to put in these bike lanes, and the one that is currently being used for the Sharrow, the bike symbol itself is used on the Sharrow, is actually can be used in a bike lane too. And then what they usually do is add an arrow.
Oh, okay.
They have another one that's that if you look at the bike lane or the let's see, where is there a bike lane where it's actually, well, the one of the bike lanes that goes out Southeast Bay Boulevard, you know, coming back into town, still has some, you can still see some of the signs there on the bike lane, and it's a different symbol than the Sharrow bicycle.
Mm-hmm. Notice.
However, I know that the city actually has the Sharrow template, so all they would have to do to mark those bike lanes is to use the bicycle part of that Sharrow symbol, and they could paint that on these bike lanes.
Here's our
instead
point
of buying a new template.
And that was deja vu from two or three meetings ago. We said, hey, ask Mike Eastman, do you have it? Can you use it?
And I wonder if anybody knows where it's at.
Right.
I am kind of curious about that too.
Because it was used on the 6th Street project quite a lot when they painted the.
That's right, they did have to use it for that because they did paint some of those.
And it's from Halco and it's aluminum.
Right.
It's in two pieces.
My point here is, or our point is, that the city is repainting these shoulders, but you have not been repainting the bicycle back into the shoulders.
Right.
And it's their responsibility to do that. I'm sorry to people, but it is.
Yeah, because federal money is actually used to put those bike lanes in.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, they were specified a certain way, and the bike symbol has to go back into the thing. Once it's worn off,
right,
it does have to be reapplied.
Right. So this idea of the Sharrow plus arrow, were you thinking of an application of that specifically at
they
this
could use,
site?
They wouldn't have to actually use the Sharrow part of it, the chevron,
right.
Just use the bicycle part of it.
Okay.
And then they don't have to go out and buy a separate template.
Okay.
It's just an idea we're suggesting to them.
Yeah.
They paint them however they want to paint them, but that was just an idea to save them some money.
Oh, that's actually a question for probably Jim Pertiva, number seven.
It is.
Yeah, this is, I think that Dave brought that
and
up.
And the general answer, I can tell you the general answer I'm going to get probably from him is that when a lot of these waste container things put in, there were various groups who volunteered to help maintain them. And then a lot of those various groups have kind of fallen by the wayside in terms of their responsibility. I don't know in the case of this specific one.
Okay.
But I know I'm working with getting some of the other ones along the beach and whatnot sort of back in operation with some other groups that have volunteered to maintain them. So
I've never heard of any groups.
I'll ask. I don't know on this particular one. Since this one's actually in Big Creek, that might not be the case.
It's not actually there, is it? It's not actually in there.
No, there's never been any. But we suggested that.
Oh, actually, putting one in.
Yeah.
At
each end
of
Big Creek.
That's why I was going to say that. Yeah, but I'll check specifically.
But one of the things that's happened with the dog waste containers is they have been adopted, if you will. They've been sponsored by certain people or businesses,
right.
And I think that's what's fallen by the wayside. Is
right.
That they haven't been restocking them, and we probably didn't have a good way to make that happen.
Or they'll make an agreement, verbal agreement with the city that they're going to buy certain amount of bags, and those run out, and then next thing you know, the city's left with the bill or of restocking.
Holding the bag.
Yeah, holding the bag, literally.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just a quick comment to back up on the Cheryl piece. I've got the wayfinding notes from August 3rd of 2012, and it says, a discussion ensued regarding placement of bike sheros in South Beach. Crocker from State Parks, and this is South Jetty, Crocker from State Parks noted that State Parks supports this idea and it sees it as doable. And it was noted that State Parks approves the process, but it's more complex than the city, and the city would need to pay for any sheros that might be desired to place on South Beach.
Which was just paint.
So if we find out that the stencil is available, State Parks is on record as saying we bring forth the sheros to the South Jetty.
And that did happen, as Chuck said, that happened at the August wayfinding meeting, and I honestly don't
August.
Think
yeah.
he has been back to any of our wayfinding meetings since then. So
no.
But he is always, we always invite him.
I think if the appropriate person from the city called him up and said, hey, we're ready to do these sheros, can we do them? I'm sure they would, based upon this, that he's saying that this he sees as doable, but he's saying that the city has to provide paint. Since we're talking about doing those things.
Okay.
And that brings up the important point of how do we get follow-up on something like that? I mean, if State Parks says, yes, doable, somebody, city staff person, has to follow up with State Parks and said, okay, well, we want to schedule to do this sometime, right? Or talk about it. Somebody has to take the initial next step. Otherwise, it just becomes an entry in this nearly year-old document.
The actually, on that note, find out whether the city would be willing to provide that paint. So I have a note to ask Tim whether the city will provide that paint. And if he says yes, then I will communicate with Frank Crocker because I was at that meeting.
Yeah, okay.
And tell him we're ready to go.
And I'm thinking as far as like when you talk to Tim, like if they're going to use that template to put the bike symbol on the back in the bike lanes, you know, they're going to get out and actually do that kind of painting, that, you know, before they start that, they might want to try to coordinate something with the state park to go ahead and continue on down there and put those do that at the same time or around the same time. So if you got a crew out there using a template for, you know, putting that symbol down on the road, then that might be a time to do this.
But you're talking about in the state park.
Well, talking specifically the Jetty Road, if you will, the extension of 126th Street. The Jetty Road is accessed by Southwest 26th Street.
Okay.
When you turn off of OSU Drive.
Right.
There's a section that is city owned of 26th Street that might require two to four sheros before you get to state park property.
Okay.
And then beyond that, it would be state the frequency park. Of sheros on the Jetty Road area would be less frequent than are needed in other areas, but would serve as a bridge between the mixed use path that goes underneath the bridge and ends there. And the state park's 1 mile long paved path that goes to the Davis area. That was our goal, was to connect those two bike features by using the sheros as breadcrumbs to facilitate people.
And at least one of us in the committee is willing to work with the city on the, you know, the placement.
Right. So what you were saying is you could paint both the state's portion of it and our portion of it.
Yeah, if they're going to get out there with the paint to, you know, to do part of it, you know, they got the paint out and they've got the template out there, they could work with the state and state parks and see about doing that one somewhere around the same time.
With him.
Okay. So let's see, I think Dave had another question here on number 8 on the slide area there on 35th Street and Harney. Was that a question?
Yeah. Well, we were asking about trying to get a area developed off the side of the road that you could at least walk on, so a lot of people walk and run and even bicycle that area of 31st Street between Highway 101 and Harney Street. And the idea that we've been suggesting for quite some time is that one side of the road be scraped off so that you could walk or ride or bike or whatever people do along there without being in traffic. Because right now, especially through the slide area, you've got to walk in traffic. There's no shoulder, there's not even an escape area to get off the road, and it's on a corner. So there's a safety component there. We're suggesting that possibly riprap be added, which would further stabilize the roadway and be able to give some room for somebody to be able to walk. There's a group that works with Community Services Consortium. They're, they're natural resource crews. And they have expressed some interest in maybe being involved in helping develop that and scrape some of that roadway off. It's a group of kids in the summertime, you know, supervised by an adult, so they may be able to get involved with that if the city needs some labor for that.
Okay.
But it would, the other thing it would do is it would make a loop out of Big Creek Trail.
Right.
Which would be, a lot of people would like, it's about a mile loop. It's exactly a mile.
Yeah, I've actually done that before where I've done a trail and then come back on the road.
It's exactly a mile, and people can park down at the end by Big Creek Park and the overflow parking, and a lot of people do that. And it would just make it a lot safer and make it more of a destination in that area. So, and stabilize the road further.
Okay, well, that's not one that I picked up from the minutes, unfortunately, so I've got we can ask on that one.
Yeah,
I know it's a long shot.
Yeah, it is.
Well, throwing it out there. That if anything, yeah, I think we wanted to bring it to the public court's attention that you know there's some there's some benefits to making some
that
some
right now is one
right
way.
No, it's a nice two way. But if there's any slippage where they have to do any riprap work there, it would be nice to figure that into it.
Huh?
What's it on print? The rest of it.
Kind of.
So the two travel lanes just preclude anti pedestrian.
It's two tight travel lanes through the slider.
There's no shoulder.
Well, it's sort of. You're told that by sign that it's one lane at a time goes through there.
No, it's a two lane.
No, it's two
it's
lanes.
It's a full two lane road.
Yeah, they repaired that.
Okay.
Yeah, they did. The city did a nice job of stepping up and repairing that, and it's great for vehicular traffic now.
Okay.
It just precludes pedestrian or bicycle traffic.
It's far. It's far better road than the one that goes to my house, Dave. So, I ride bicycles on both. So,
all right, we
so
bring
on,
that up at another
on number 10. This is where
well,
I think
number nine on the pathways
nine,
on,
nine,
on the
nine.
Forest Park thing. I think that might be another Parks and Rec question.
Both Parks and Rec, and then Parks and Rec through Jim Pertiva primarily is coordinating with the management of the park through OCCFA, and they have some education stuff that's going on and some other things. So I think this is one of those areas though where there would be overlap. So as an example of that, I would like to think of the fact that someday that closed Big Creek Road that basically still belongs to the county
big loop
could just be one big multimodal loop, or at least a portion of
it
that could be eventually paved or something. It could be, you know, bikes, skateboards, wheelchairs, you name it. It could be wide enough, but there are several groups that are working on it, and I think the point here is to make sure that we try to coordinate between the various groups whenever a project is. I mentioned the other day an issue came up on access to the beach and various other city liabilities on Americans with Disability Act, you know? And it's like, well, that reminded me that wouldn't it be cool someday if there literally was a little short trail that somebody could wheelchair access right into Forest Park, you know?
Big Creek Trail is ADA compliant.
Big Creek Trail?
Big Creek Trail
the part that goes down from the park to the Agate Beach,
right.
Not the road slash trail that goes up to the water tanks, then all the way back
not
down.
Not that point.
But the one side of it is, a good start. And that's another one. My wife works for community services, and that's why I suggested that. Or she had asked me to bring that up to you guys, that the Forest Park trails, that those crews may be real prime to
be able to help do some work.
To bring up to your Parks and Rec Advisory Committee.
Right.
The supervisor of that group's out right now, but she'll be back soon. It's Virginia Tartaleather.
Right, and I know Virginia really well. And one of the areas that they've also talked about working on is connecting the trail from the middle school down to Forest Park.
Right.
That was another piece. So.
Okay.
Update on the pedestrian walking maps.
I don't know about this.
Well, I'm thinking there was a sort of general getting around discussion that happened ad hoc waypoint.
I can bring you up on.
Okay, because there
is a walking map.
Okay.
But I presented it to you two meetings ago.
Right.
And but it has no street names on it.
Right.
So it's very virtually very difficult to use.
Right.
So what needs to happen is that who developed that map? Where did it come from?
From this committee.
This committee.
Oh. Jim Salisbury actually did a technical production of the map, of which we have copies of from someplace.
So now I know. Now I know why I'm confused, because when we sat down at wayfinding, I'm looking at this map and I go, well, "This looks pretty familiar to the map you're talking about, but all the street names are on here."
Yeah.
So I guess the point is we need to get the walking one up to where it's got that same standard.
There it is.
Yeah, right there it is.
Oh
yeah, it was
so what do we need to do? Is there, do we have the original file or do we need to recreate it?
The original file, actually, I got a copy of this from, I'd asked Ted.
Yeah.
Jonesport, and he found it.
Okay, so we need somebody to go in here.
Because the original was done by Meredith.
Yeah.
And then I went to Jim Salisbury.
Mm-hmm. That one doesn't look as complete as that one.
Yeah,
that's for some reason.
Yeah. So what we need to do is produce that map with street names.
Right. See, because there's virtually nothing on it.
So yeah, how do you sort of orient where you are? Is this the entire map? So it's
there's a bigger one.
And I think that's why it was kind of brought up at one of the meetings, or at the April meeting at least, to make it a little bit more in the same kind of a format as the bike route.
Right.
Well,
that's a lot more comprehensive than just.
Well, that's where the bike route map started from. Was the walking.
It doesn't have anything.
Yeah,
south
walking
of
map came first.
I know. No, it was.
And shouldn't the walking maps the people who are going to use walking maps are going to be tourists, and shouldn't have shopping areas laid out and this, that, and the other thing, a reason to walk from one place
to
the other.
That's what the original one has on them.
This has a big long list of amenities.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not really connected.
Yeah.
As to where they are.
I kind of think we need to develop an entire new map.
I agree with you.
So is there something that the wayfinding committee might actually do?
Well, I was just wondering, Chuck, what do you think about the visitor map that the wayfinding committee is using? Because we have that file digitally. Yeah.
It's too large of a scale.
Yeah.
But you could just zoom in if
you want. Perhaps. Seems like.
No, I don't have any.
But I think something should be developed that would have, the Nye Beach district, and a little bit of a blurb on that, and the Bayfront district, and a little bit of a blurb on that. A reason for people to be walking from point A to point B.
Well,
that's a scaled version of wayfinding right there.
Yeah.
Right. But it's, as far as a walking map, you'd have to really zero in.
Well, that was the original.
And maybe that's keeping it consistent.
If you recall, that was the original map, was one of each of the different areas difficult walk difficulties on them, but showing how they connected Deco to Bayfront to Nye Beach.
And this one, Bay Beach picture and Nye Beach picture.
I think that's a better approach to take advantage of a map that's further along.
And that map, I think, is really much nicer. One of the things that could happen is that we can make a folded map like the bike with a larger piece.
You have to be a little careful. Even this map right here, which is a scaled down version of a wayfinding map, very difficult right now to read those streets. If you try to read that,
that's tough.
You can't read that. And so the problem is when you have a large map that's used for a certain viewing distance, covers, a 5-mile section, and it's you're standing up there next to it, it's 5 feet tall, and then you scale it down, the viewer and the graphics, they don't necessarily morph down.
Yeah.
But the city can get us whatever map we need to plug in.
But I think this is something that's bigger than just an overnight matter. I think this is something that should be developed.
Yeah, but maybe put in this same format
over
as
several
this bike route map, which actually has different sections, but it's all a fold-out thing.
Yeah.
And it's got a little description on there.
Yeah, this one's a lot better because even from here I can see that there's cross streets that are dominant.
I think that was... So would this be something that the Wayfinding Committee would say use
these
things?
We got our hands full. We don't have any time to do anything like this.
What?
We got too much stuff we haven't done yet. We want a project.
Yeah.
Wayfinding?
Yeah.
Although, you know, ideally, obviously... When you think of in terms of wayfinding, it should be to like find out where these walking trails and biking places are as well.
Yes,
but
so it would be a good thing to put on our radar screen.
Well, I'm going to see if this map that Greg has electronically is in a format that Marianne can work with. And I could mock something up and bring
then
it in, and we can start looking
more usable chunks.
Looking at
it. Okay. FYI, a graphic artist is probably making changes to that file,
right?
Sometime in the next, either now.
That's a go. That's happening. Yes.
So there'll be an updated version of this in maybe a week.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Or 2 weeks.
No, a week.
2 weeks.
Yeah, we would want to use the updated version.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, move on. Shall we move on?
So, 11, I guess, is kind of a continuation.
The forest park thing. Okay.
It seems like a good thing to do at some future.
Future time. Yeah, she's busy this summer. She's real busy, and I think I think we need to like plan an agenda around inviting her to a specific meeting.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not waste her time. Just have a specific agenda laid out for a meeting.
You want to pick a month? Like September.
September, October, November, something like that.
Let's try. Do you communicate with her?
Yeah.
Do you
want to
see if she could come in September? It would be the second.
I'll try for September, October. How's that?
Perfect.
Yeah.
So I guess the answer to number 12 is how did they do on the most recent Sheriff's?
We love those things.
They varied the way they were placed. They varied the frequency in certain areas, and it all made really good sense to me.
I called Tim up the first day I saw him, and I congratulated him on him, and he asked me if I liked the layout, and I says yes I did, and he said that he specifically laid them out prior to corners to intersections to where they would have an impact, like when you're coming up around the hill. He laid one out prior to that so that, the vehicle operators would have some warning. So he put some thought into where he laid those out.
And that's essentially what the MUTCD says about those, because they don't have any established firm guidelines. They will say maybe a minimum of 250 feet, separation or whatever. That might be work on a straight line type thing, but they also mentioned that, they should be done, at intersections so that people that are turning onto the road can see it right away, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And other places where, like you said, going around a curve or up a hill, that you get another indication.
Turn into the zone midway and there's not another sign.
So the placement was...
Bob, did he say anything about the installation? Because I noticed they were like in six pieces. You can see that they're laid down, at least six pieces to make one graph.
Yeah. I didn't ask him about how much time it took, but they did them while I was on vacation, I think. And
be interesting to know whether they, after having used that six piece,
they're a smaller
skinnier
template than the ones that were put on six.
Yeah, and that's kind of where he's going with it. With this project, does he feel that style that he used there is something that bang for buck is good and installation is okay, or is a stencil thing?
And this is actually something that I'm going to bring up under old business to the additional ongoing project of adding Sheriff's. So we can kind of get into you know, some suggestions or whatever comments we might want to get forward on to Tim, you know, at that point. So let's finish up with this. You know, didn't want to really spend all this time on it, but I happened to, like I said, notice that there was a lot of questions that we had out there, and kind of like to put that to bed as, you know.
I think we know the answer to number 13.
We don't have a complete
inventory of all paths, trails, bike routes, etc., but we have several committees working in various ways of how to get all this combined into a better way to get around.
That's true.
That's something that we should probably, again, as a committee, adopt to work on.
Yeah.
And, you know, create this big overlay of, you know, here's a trail here, here's a path here, and actually get it down on a big map. We could just set a map aside, and every meeting, whoever digs up a little path or a trail, they can come in and they can add it to that until we actually do finally get, you know.
Or another option would be to, you know, get a city map and, you know, assign certain sections to individuals.
Wherever we find things that aren't currently on the system, you know, maybe that's...
So we need to report to them.
Yeah,
maybe we could just send them a report and have them update.
I would have thought they had a sidewalk inventory.
Well, they should have a sidewalk.
They do have a sidewalk inventory.
I can look into what they currently have, and if it does have, like, some of the trails, but not all of them, but it's, like, something we could use, and maybe like what we did for wayfinding, they can print off a version of it, because that's what we did at the wayfinding.
Is the big wayfinding map out for us to look at anywhere yet? We talked about laying one out.
Yeah, we did talk about posting it.
It's gone. I don't know where it went.
I don't know where it went either.
I used to have one in our conference.
Because the idea was to get it out in a public area where folks...
Where did they say the perfect spot would be?
I thought we were going to do that when we got the map revised. Which is going to happen.
Well, I thought it was... We were going to put it up and after the first... Well, we're getting into committee stuff at this point,
through a similar process, we could get something printed off that shows what inventory, if any, we do have.
Yeah, that'd be
and
nice.
And that's what would happen is that's the same way the wayfinding committee is. They got this one big master map. People are putting their comments all on one place.
So that way, as a committee, they're
doing that for us. Yeah.
Well, no, well, but then eventually, sometime in the near future, there will be a map in a public area for wayfinding, and anybody from this committee can take that opportunity to look at it and do trail.
You're supposed to get that for us.
We could do, Chuck, is we could just have a paper copy for this committee to...
A big paper copy we lay out here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Back in the day when Tim was here, we had this big, giant map and that was one of the reasons we met over there.
Yeah.
It's because we had these maps that we'd pull out when we started talking about stuff. And then you...
Yeah, because sometimes I don't...
Then all of a sudden you go, oh, where's 31st Street? And by the time you catch up with where it is...
Maybe we can bring one of these maps in. Can we get one of these maps maybe for the next meeting?
You mean a wayfinding map?
Yeah, so we can just kind of see what's going on.
Any sort of large map.
Discuss it a little bit more.
Whatever map you've if we don't have the old one, we'll bring an old one.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay. Let's move on. Let's see. Oh, this is another question. I think that Dave might have brought up about these sediment tarps.
Yeah.
Big Creek Trail.
I didn't get an answer to that one. It's a big question.
And there's actually, if you notice, Mark, there's two questions there. One is the sediment tarps in there, and then the other one was the concrete structure.
Right. I noted that. Okay. That's kind of ugly there.
I noticed they never seem to be getting taken down, so maybe there's rules that say they can't take them down for 5 years or something, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, I mean, even over at the water treatment plant construction site where they put that new building, and there used to be a community garden that way in that area, and the tarps are still out there with grass growing up over and stuff, so maybe there's rules that have to be there, so.
On 15, I think this is something we noted at the wayfinding committee, right? It's marking the Big Creek Trail. And then remember we had that discussion where people said, well, it's already marked from Big Creek down to the beach. And we said, no, we're talking about from Big Creek up around the
up to the water tanks and back down?
Well, this relates just to what we like to call the Big Creek trail, as opposed to the Beta Beach.
Right.
But we talked about signage on both. This committee talked about signage on both ends as they relate to that trail, not only on the wayside end, but also as you exit the neighborhood portion on the east end, to have some signage that says Big Creek Park quarter mile or whatever, to have some reciprocal signage in general. And it's been, this issue's been out there ever since the Big Creek trail was done.
Right. And it says Bay to Beach Trail, and I have people, I can't tell you how many times people come up and say, where's the Big Creek Trail? Right there.
But that's what I'm saying. Then we got this one included, didn't we, on our effort at the wayfinding to get that fixed?
Well, and fixed in what regard?
In the way that you're suggesting here?
Well
on the map.
Yeah. Oh, I think one of the issues is that at least down at Agate Beach, you don't even know there's a trail there until you're on the trail, essentially.
Right.
There's no signage on...
So this is something that Parks and Rec would have to coordinate?
Well, with, the maybe signage
state,
on...
Because it's State Park, it's state park, you know,
the signage on site. Ocean View would be probably ODOT, I'm guessing, or
no,
well, state
it would
parks.
Be State Parks. And perhaps when we talk to State Parks about the Cheryl painting, other slightly related to our committee... we talked about getting some signage on Ocean View Drive by State Parks to direct people into Agate Beach Wayside so they could access the Big Creek Trail.
Right.
We talked about putting a hiking icon there.
Yeah.
State Parks, based upon this August 3rd, 2012, is open to doing those things, putting icons that have a hiking trail at Agate Beach Wayside.
Okay, cool.
Somebody has to
formally talk to them when
just say,
them
hey, dude, can we get some icons? And they'll say, okay. Yes.
Okay, good. Let's see. Ash Street. I see that they're working on Ash Street. And I guess the question was whether, well, you've seen the plans for Ash Street, haven't you?
Yeah, they're online.
I was looking for them. I didn't see
them. Yeah, they're in the public or the... Yeah, public works section, and there's the whole plan is there. It's 10 and a half foot travel lanes, curb and gutter on both sides. On the west side is a mixed use path that varies anywhere from 8 feet to 10 feet.
Oh, a separate path.
Separate path, and there's no space in between the vehicular traffic curb and the path itself. I mean, there's not a green space or anything.
Oh, okay.
It's just stacked one to the other. And the path has streetlights in it, so some places it chokes down to maybe it's only 6 feet wide because of the streetlight and the related buttress or whatever. But that's it.
So that's pretty much a done deal as far as taking care of the pedestrian issue.
They've brushed out. If you go up there now, you can see the 40-foot right away, like a freight train went through there.
Sounds
and
cool.
It's very cool. What's related to that would be that the connectivity of the pedestrian feature from Ash Street to 40th Street is a problem, in that Ash Street will now have this mixed-use path that ends at 40th Street. 40th Street going up towards college has no bicycle facility until you get on up the hill to Chestnut.
Right.
So there's approximately 600 feet of road there that either A, needs a bike lane on the uphill side, or share rows, or the mixed-use path that stops at Chestnut Street uphill needs to be brought down to Ash Street so it's contiguous.
Yeah. So actually, this would be something that we need to bring up the public works department about making that a connecting up that Ash Street.
Right, that's what I said. The question is still
with 40th Street one, yeah.
The easiest thing to do is put an uphill to slightly restripe the uphill portion of 40th Street so that you can have an uphill bike lane that will
make
connect
to the
Ash to the mixed-use path.
What about the walkers?
They have a sidewalk
that's
on the north side, existing. So they would just cross over the sidewalk, and then there is actually a formalized crossing to the top sidewalk that gets them over to the mixing path.
I'll be right back.
Well, that was a long list, and, you know, like I said,
but that's
we got through that.
But that's an area that they're actively working on right now. They're going to be striking, doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that was staff report.
If we get it in the queue.
No, the old business. We've got that just about done now, too.
Yeah, and actually, in their old business, we've covered several of the, several of the items that were on there. So wait for Mark to get back. Yeah, wait for Mark to get back, and then we'll...
We can approve the ordinance without him.
Well, that's true, because he can't vote on it.
Yeah. I vote to approve it.
Yeah, everybody got a copy of what they, you know, the changes that we put in the April minutes were incorporated, you know, in the copy that I sent out on Saturday. And then it's also, Peggy has the same thing, the ordinance, you know, up here.
I'm sorry, I really thought I had done that, but yeah. I think that when I prepared the minutes with the specific changes, I just got in my head that I had done the ordinance. So.
Yeah. So, I would say that unless anybody sees any particular problems with the layout, and actually we're looking at Exhibit A, and that was the one that we had the most discussion on at the April meeting, was the information and stuff that was on Exhibit A.
I kind of lost all my stuff here.
And actually, there should be a copy up there, too. Actually, it's on the other side of that one. I think she did a double-sided. Oh, no, that one's... That might be the old one.
Okay, so what are we looking at approving then?
You need to get a copy
this one.
Of
this
one.
This one,
he's getting that one. Yeah, that one does provide a set of
assist. Flip it over. Okay. The stuff that's on
what is the Exhibit A?
Yeah, the stuff that's on
this
on
is the this is the part that describes your duties, and this is the actual ordinance right here. I mean, it's all an ordinance, but Exhibit A is adopted by reference into this ordinance.
Okay.
So, and these dates are I didn't put any dates in there. That's a change. So, anyway, what this Exhibit A is essentially. We took your bylaws and turned them into the exhibit, which will become a part of the municipal code if this ordinance is adopted. And then it will be official, and it basically says that your committee shall consist of 7 members who serve 3-year terms. All members must be residents or business owners of the city. The city manager shall designate a staff member to attend all Bikinhead advisory committee meetings. Can't vote. And then C outlines pretty much what was in your bylaws as amended at the last meeting. Mm-hmm. And so what happened at the last meeting, I don't have the old ordinance here, but we had basically C and then 1 through 14. So I think it was 11, 12, and 13 were completely eliminated. Mm-hmm. That was part of the discussion. It's actually in your minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few of them that were completely, taken out. And
so,
just some wording changes on one or two others.
So A and B, there were no changes. C, the change was the word shall used to be in there, shall have the responsibility, and now it says may. Uh-huh. That was a committee change in the last meeting. C, and actually 1 through 14 were all renumbered as subs under 1.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Paragraph C1-3, no change. C4 was deleted, so you can't really see it on here. 5, no change. 6 was changed to read, advise the city council. That's now D. And then paragraph 8 was deleted and 9 was changed to read, support the city council in creating a greater awareness. Those were pretty much the changes with the exception of the deletion of 11, 12, and 13.
Okay. So I'm happy.
So. Yes, I just noticed that 12 is relative to non-motorized travelers crossing the Quinte Bay Bridge. That one always kind of stuck with me as one that wouldn't be bad to keep as a specific, because that's such, but is that bad to do that?
That's really kind of, that's really kind of an ODOT thing anyway. You know, we can, I think we can still make recommendations to the city council or whoever, you know. Right now what we're looking at is trying to get Cheryl's on the bridge, you know, some of this stuff. And as, but as far as having it in, you know, the actual ordinance and stuff, I don't
think that's necessary. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't preclude you from talking about it.
Has a specific location or a specific project called out.
Right, right. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you know, I don't see any problems with the changes that we made, you know, at the April meeting. You know, like I said, I just incorporated and put them all together so that they were all, you know, flowed. And I would just ask if anybody wants to make a motion that we approve, you know, what's been rewritten for the ordinance.
I move that we approve the rewritten ordinance as it stands.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the ordinance number 2051 as
second
written. We have a second. All in favor?
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Alicia? Abstains, okay.
Oh,
so
what? Did someone abstain?
One did.
Alicia.
Yes. I don't think we need you to but,
Well, when there's an abstention, there should be a reason, but I'm not.
Well, that's why we asked if there's any, you know, objections to, you know, the way it's written, or, you know, if we have to, if there's anything that has to come up for discussion before we actually accept them. So,
is there?
Unless you see a particular problem, I don't.
No, I don't see a problem.
Okay. Just, you can just abstain from voting.
I just don't agree with it. That's all.
It's okay. Well, then I think we have a motion made, seconded, and passed that we go ahead and approve the ordinance number 2051.
This ordinance has to go to council.
Right, it has to go to council.
And so
yeah.
What will
so they have to approve it as well.
They will adopt the ordinance, and then it will become effective 30 days from the date they adopt it.
Right.
It will be legal for one more year.
You want to put it on Monday?
I don't think we have more illegal. That's my point.
We do have illegal.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't think we ever were.
Yeah, we can do it.
Sure.
I think we'll
put it on Monday. We'll open our eyes.
We put it on a Monday agenda, and then we won't be illegal.
That'd be good. That'd be swell. I'd love that.
But okay. Is everyone going to show up and talk against it? Because I need to prepare myself.
No, I'm never going to show up again because you kicked me out.
I think only three can show up when we have to notice it.
I guess
you
go to work
meeting.
The next day and say, I got kicked out of the council meeting last night.
Did you get
what
kicked
out?
Did you get kicked out too?
Well, a whole bunch of people did because we all showed up.
You can't show up if more than three of you out of time or you have a...
Unless it's...
We would have noticed it as a joint meeting. Yeah. I just didn't know that that was going to happen, or I would have done that, and that would have been fine.
Yeah,
that was just a good little thing to have.
Forever.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on. We got that thing put to bed. And then most of the other stuff I had listed under old business taken care of under staff reports, so that's pretty well taken care of. I do have one question about the sheroes. Is the city ordering more sheroes to continue on with the projects and you know, the other streets?
I'll find out what our inventory is.
Yeah. Well, the inventory should be down to maybe two or three left. Because okay. I counted the sheroes out there. And I think it was 37 out of the 40.
I got two different answers.
I did too. 36, 37.
We can see where we are. On
so that. there's a couple left, and I'd like to know whether you know the Public Works Department has it in their budget to purchase more sheroes, more of the thermal plastic sheroes.
They probably do, but this time they're not going to order them until they're ready to put them down, so they're not being told that they're not down.
Yeah. But we would like to know that. Yeah. We would like to know that they're going to continue
expectation
on.
Expectation management.
But, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think we'll put this on another meeting. What I'd like to do, and I don't see that I got this on here, I would like to make sure that this committee is continued on. I mean,
the people on the committee continue on until the end of your term, and then the terms become 30 years.
It doesn't say that in the ordinance?
I don't see it.
Oh, because that's the recommendation.
But I think that's pretty important.
That's the recommendation.
You can't have the whole committee turn over at once.
Well, you can. Some committees do that. But what we didn't want to have happen was suddenly somebody say, well, you're not on the committee anymore. We want to add something. We want to add a whereas so that not only is the committee formalized, but the current members of the committee continue on to the end of their current terms. Mm-hmm. And then the terms will be, I don't know what they are now, but then the terms will be 3 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it won't be this time.
Can't you? Oh, okay.
Maybe. Is it going to have to come up at our meeting again?
No, you can just add your whereas on there.
They do all the time. They do that.
So we'll still do this Monday, or we can.
I'll try to do this.
Okay.
You can do a whereas in about 10 or 12 words, and we're good to go.
Whereas the kind of people are staying.
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else see anything under old business that might have gotten overlooked? I think we've covered just about everything that's been on our list for a long time here. New business, I just wrote down here that kid safety curriculum training in Eugene is still going on. I am going. It's $15. The thing is, it's a 16-hour course, and that's why there's not going to be a lot of people going to show up for this because it's a two-day thing.
Right.
But I see a lot of value to that, and I hope to be able at least to take some of that information back to the schools, because that's kind of what that's all about. And I'm going over there and, spending the night there Friday night, Saturday night. Anybody else that wants to go, I'm already going over there, so that's that. Anything else anybody wants to put under new business? Let's see. Oh, we're going to discuss the agenda and the format for the agenda for upcoming meetings.
Right.
Let's just go ahead and, apparently it sounds like, Bob mentioned that he doesn't have a problem with the format that this was set up under. I don't really have a problem with it either. And again, it does still leave us the option of if I happen to, after I see the agenda or before it comes out, if I think that I'd like to see something on the agenda, get a hold of Peggy and let her know what I'd like to have on the agenda. If it's something other than, I usually read through the minutes from the meeting, and then that's kind of like stuff that comes up under old business. And if I happen to think of something else, or anybody else happen to think of something they want to bring up under new business, get a hold of me, or Peggy, so that we can try to get it in the official.
If you can get it to me 2 weeks before, that would be ideal. Because
we need it at least 2 weeks before ahead of time.
And, any of you who want items on the agenda, it's better to work through Ken to let him know what items you want so he's aware of that. And then he can send it to me.
Yeah, I think that sounds...
My opinion on this is I like the old business, new business idea because it keeps us on track. And it's not archaic because the county... commissioners are still using that.
True.
Well, I got to admit, after stepping through tonight, when we got to talking about next meeting's agenda, everything that we didn't have an answer tonight, I automatically categorized it as fitting under old business.
Right.
Report on at the next meeting. So
that's kind of the way that really.
Staff reports under old business, whatever news we have, and then if there happens to be something from departments that really is new business that they want you to hear about, then chances are that might actually be a time when
I'm still struggling with it.
So I don't know what we call it, but I'm just telling you that on my list.
I'd like to see the department reports moved up to the beginning of the meeting as we used to have, because it usually sets the stage then for the rest of our discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that would fit with what we were trying to develop, is getting the departments used to proactively sending us information well in advance of this meeting.
Mm-hmm. So. And I'd still, give you the opportunity to invite, somebody from, you know, one of these departments, like, you know, Tim, or, you know, somebody that can actually give us firsthand information, you know, and or answer questions, you know, to come to our meetings, you know, whenever possible.
Well, what I'm thinking, Ken, is that if we get them in the habit of giving us reports, it might very well be that in looking at those ahead of time, that'll help Peggy and I decide, well, now, wait a minute, you know, maybe this is something where they ought to be coming to this particular meeting. So, mm-hmm. But, you know, it's going to have to be a situation where, you know, they're not giving us that information the day of. It's
gonna, yeah, well, and that's why I said we need to get the agenda out at least a couple of weeks in advance, so and have got an opportunity to, you know, like if you have to get information from a department head or a different department at some point, you know, you get plenty of time to, you know, get the information.
Well, and this project for 101,
yeah,
it might very well be that that's an appropriate situation, is to have people here specifically to focus, because that's a big topic.
Yeah.
You know, so there'll be this public meeting. You know, maybe the outcomes of that public meeting, maybe they ended up being drastically different than what people in this committee were envisioning. That, I think, would be a really important.
Now, are the consultants that they're hiring, they're going to be the ones that are going to do the public meeting, right?
Yes, I think it's a sure.
Generally, I would think. Yeah. That's usually the way that works. So.
Yep.
And then another item is, we never did get that committee orientation.
Right, I remember that.
Get that in some point.
We'll do that sometime.
Thank you.
Well, okay.
So wait a second. If you can commit to me, our next meeting date is July 9th.
Right.
So do you think you could have all of you have your suggested agenda items to Ken before the end of June?
I won't be able to attend. I really would like to be here for the committee orientation.
I won't do that next time, so I'm still stinging over that. welcome.
Because I think that, you know, the two of you obviously need to, you know, communicate with each other to set the...
I don't mind communicating, but I did put this agenda out 2 weeks early because I was going to be out of town. Uh-huh. And then when things started to change, I decided I wasn't going to participate because we were within that window.
Yeah, I think, well, once the two of you establish a pattern of communicating back and forth to each other, just what topics need to be presented on the agenda, and we'll get a format like, you know, the department reports right at the top. You know, obviously we've got in, we'll review the old minutes, and boom, we'll go right into the department, you know, heads, and then we, you know, go to the other subjects down below that Ken will provide. Otherwise, we have just, you know, some specific format items.
We will make it work.
Yeah.
It might take a few times.
Yeah, it might take two or three times.
But if I don't have this by July 1st, it's not going to work.
Correct. And he'll get that to you.
And I will be gone from the 19th to the 1st.
So get on it, Ken. See?
Ain't done yet? Sorry. Oh, wait a minute. It's going to be raining.
Well, I just don't want to hear that I totally effed it up next time. Yeah. I make lots of mistakes, trust me, but I'm not used to being abused by committees.
Oh, man.
Weren't you there at that first horrible meeting?
Yeah. I missed the first horrible meeting.
I was. You did. I said, if you think those people were.
So are we officially done with the meeting? The meeting is officially over?
Yes.
And we're just.
Mark, would you pass the.